Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The show is not suitable for children, sensitive men, or insecure women.
Can you trust somebody that doesn't take care of their kids?
I don't trust no man on earth that does not take care of their children.
What's the biggest red flag in a relationship?
Low effort and not being honest.
Most of the time, you would think that a bad financial mistake would be spending money on clothes or vacation or like spending money on women. My worst financial mistake was buying a home.
Game time. Appreciate y'all.
Sir.
Yes, we are back.
We back at it. Live in the flesh. Another live episode.
Gotta Surprise. Do it.
You never know.
Gotta do it.
Tribeca in.
You heard? You heard? New York City, what's that? It's cold out here, man. My Lord.
I heard you was part of that Floyd Mayweather deal. Got about 20 blocks in Harlem.
On 35th. Capo. Call him. He got to listen about.
Oh, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a good one. This is somebody that I personally have been following for a while.
Me too.
Cheyenne Bryant. Dr. Cheyenne Bryant. Mm-hmm. You know, she talks about a lot of stuff. I know she makes the news a lot for like the relationship stuff.
Yeah.
But she covers everything.
Yeah.
The gambit. So good to have a professional. And we're going to be talking about a lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. This is going to be one of them ones. And we got a lot of other stuff to talk about before we bring her on as well. But in my effort of supporting Black brands, I'm staying on course. So this shout out to my guys at Marathon. Congratulations on opening the Marathon Absolutely. Burger. This is the Marathon TMC hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Very classy, you know, very classy logo. It's not like all, you know, it's just very nicely placed. Mm-hmm. So it's the flag. That's their logo. So this is a Marathon hoodie. Make sure you support the Marathon brand. And then of course, LOX.
Shout out to the guys.
This is Godspeed hat. Shout out to Godspeed. They made this hat for the LOX. And this is actually my favorite fitted. Like it's a snapback hat, like just the way that it fits, like the brim and everything. I told Nick, I'm like, yo, I don't know what you did. I don't know what science you put behind making this hat, but this is the best fitting hat I've ever had in my life.
Oh, that's fire. Shout out to him.
So shout out to Godspeed. Shout out to the Marathon brand. Don't forget, you can send me merch. If you want to send
the P.O. Box.
P.O. Box is P.O. Box 1252. White Plains, New York, 10602, P.O. Box. Yes. That's the deal. Ian, any announcements?
Sam, Tech Shoddy, put me down for 100 orders. Support Marathon Burger, one of the most solid men walk earth ever. I appreciate you. If you want to know how to get rich in the market, go to ianinvest.com. Also, August 1st, 2025, the second version of Sniper will be out for free. So a lot of y'all been asking me, hey, when's the second version coming out? On my birthday, August 1st, 2025, it will be coming out. And I'm excited to talk to our guest tonight. Let's have an amazing show. I love y'all.
Let's do this. Let's show a clip. Dr. Umar recently spoke at a university. I'm not sure what university it was, but he spoke at a university and he pretty much was saying that Black people are the only people to ever take part in their destruction by playing the narratives. Let's play the clip.
Yeah.
All right, play the clip, please.
Here's my issue with Black in the media. We are the only people in modern history who participated in the extermination of our own public image. Black women literally participate in the extermination of their own public image through the reality shows, the drama shows, the gangster rap. Everything the world thinks about Black women, you guys are literally dramatizing it to the world for money. black men, all the gangster rapping and all the negative images we project about ourselves through the media, we are literally confirming people's opinions and stereotypes about African people. So when the police pull you over and blow your brains out and he goes to court, he gonna get off. You know why? Because all the jurors saw the gangster rap videos. They saw the reality shows. They saw the dramas and the movies and the sitcoms. And guess what? Most of white America don't come into daily contact with black people. So the opinions they form about us is based off of what they see on TV. Now you and I know that's not us, but they don't. And so we are literally being paid to destroy our own reputation in front of the world. If it's negative, I don't support it. And when I hear about 50 Cent starting his own thing, and Tyler Perry got his, and Oprah, and now Cat Williams, here's my question to all of them. When are y'all going to give us some racially empowering, culturally progressive content? Are we just going to get another Power? We just going to get another Raising Canaan? And I'm so sick and tired of Madea again? Where's the movie on Ida B. Wells? Where's the movie on the Black Liberation Army? Where's the movie on the Haitian Revolution? Where's the movie on the African independence struggles? Where's the movie on Igbo Landing? Where's the movie on all these great epics of African history? No, no, no. You just want to keep on playing that same playbook. Promiscuous women, violent men. Promiscuous women, violent men.
Okay, so that's interesting, right?
Donations.
Shout out to Umar.
Shout out to Umar.
So what's your thoughts on this?
This point has been brought up before. And some parts I agree with, but the part that I think he may be leaving out is that sector of film and finance is one of the few that will allow that will be greenlit or financed.
Okay, my only argument with that is that. That's the argument. So a lot of my friends are in media, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to them about like, yo, why are you, you're part of the problem. Because the only thing that you're reporting is celebrity gossip yep. and nonsense and all that. And they say, well, that's what people want to hear. That's mm-hmm. what they want to see. That's one argument. The other argument is that from a music standpoint or a film standpoint, it's like the record labels are pushing that.
For
the
sure.
The record labels aren't pushing positivity. So if you want to become a superstar, you have to portray yourself this on way negative. Because that's what's going to get pushed.
Kendrick's biggest moment was dissing another black man.
So here's my pushback for those things, right? A, I don't think that. Okay, is the record labels pushing that? Yes, for
yes.
sure. Do you have to do that to become a successful artist? No, because our most successful artists have not done that. Kendrick Lamar is the most successful artist of
his
this year.
Biggest moment was dissing Drake.
Yeah, but that's some hip hop shit. That's not a it's not a minstrel show. He hasn't portrayed himself as a minstrel show.
Okay.
He's not reinforcing yeah. negative stereotypes about black men. Right?
Violence.
I mean
turn the TV off. Turn it what?
But he's been J. Cole. He's probably he doesn't portray minstrel show images of black men.
I agree.
Right? These are two of our biggest. So I don't necessarily think that if the biggest people in music are not portraying that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yes, it's easier to get to where you're trying to go if you're trying to just shortcut. But
for
then
sure.
also, it's not an excuse. We gotta take some responsibility. That's like us saying like, oh, we only gonna do some ignorant stuff because that's going to be like, you know what I'm saying,
you're
like
we could have took
that route.
Yeah,
we could have started making reaction videos about other people, stuff like that. But it's like, no, we follow the course, right? We'll be independent. We'd rather be independent
for sure.
Have somebody tell you what to do.
Yes.
So now it's like you can become independent where you don't have to. You can be independent filmmaker. You can be an independent artist.
Yeah.
So that argument as far as, well, I got to do this, because that's not even really relevant no more, because there's no gatekeepers.
True.
Right.
But it takes a lot of skill to be independent and be a good business person. Most don't have that.
That's for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. But my thing is like, we got to take responsibility because we are perpetuating the negative stereotypes. Like I had an idea. I had an idea for a finance movie I've been trying to tell different people about. Mm-hmm. Nobody has really taken it. But that's not gonna say, okay, now I'm just gonna do a drug dealer movie because nobody's taking it. Like, all right, cool. It's another route. It'll come around when it needs to come around. Or we get to the point we just do it ourselves. But I just don't buy that. I gotta do this because this is my only pathway to become a star. So that's like you saying you're going to sell your soul, like pretty much, right?
And most are selling their soul and ass.
They got to get held accountable.
For sure.
They got to get held accountable.
For sure. But I hate when we blame our people for the support when other people don't highlight the positive shows, films, documentaries, programs.
And boy, they need to support that also.
That's very true. That's very, very true. So it's a duality in it.
Like, shout out to my guy, New Era Detroit, where he was saying that y'all more concerned about Big Meech paperwork than your school, than your kids' school.
That's a fact.
And it's like our priorities are messed up.
Yep.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what we have an appetite for is negativity.
Yeah.
That's not helpful.
Yeah. But I mean, is that done by our community or was that put upon us through media and systemic racism? And so it's a combination, I think. And also, some of the positive stories, you need some flair to them. A lot of the positive commentary, like even on the music, a lot of the positive music is trash.
No, for sure. But a lot of the music is trash, period.
True.
Well, it's like over sexualization of women have to take some responsibility for that. You can't just say a man is just like, because it takes a woman to get up there and to perform and to do all this and to strip and to show up naked. A woman is doing that.
The other part of that is the guys got to stop wifing the hoes and turning the good girls into hoes because the thotties getting all the attention. See or no, ladies? Yes or no? Let me know. It's a combined effort. It's a combined effort.
So how do we fix the problem?
Oh, I don't know. That's above my... I got to ask Keith. I don't know. How would you fix it? I've tried to do my part. And then people are like, I don't want to hear about investing in finance. Like, all right, cool. I feel you. Gotcha.
Well, we got to have a higher level of moral standard as a people, as a society.
Can America talk to us about higher moral ground and in this country, what has happened to us and what is going on in the world now?
No, I'm not saying America. I'm saying we have to. Like, we have to have a moral standard for ourselves. Like, it used to be a time where a kid couldn't talk back to an adult.
For sure.
That was nothing to do with America.
Yeah.
That was
our community.
Our community, policing itself.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't, you should be embarrassed if you're wearing your pants down and an old woman walks by.
Yeah.
That goes back to having men to teach standards to young boys. And that also goes back to men teaching standards to young women. That goes back to women teaching standards to young girls. That goes back to women teaching standards to boys. Like, we need to have adults holding children accountable
and teaching along the way.
And that's how you raise up a generation, right? There's no response. There's no, how can you hold somebody accountable when you yourself, decency.
Yeah.
There's no decency. No. You yourself is walking around naked. How you going? Let's like J. Cole says, triple pose for the eyes of my daughter. How you going to expect a girl to be a chaste young woman when all she's seeing is strippers and thongs, and that's her ideal of what success looks like, BBL, right? Like, you can't help expect her to be a rocket scientist when everybody that's successful, quote unquote,
or is pushed to our community,
is twerking every chance that they get.
Yeah. Selling ass, but I think it's more of a systemic issue. Or because hypothetically, if I wanted to erode the family, wouldn't I make the cost of everything so high that you can't afford anything? And then to help with that wound, give you entertainment to make time pass by for you.
No, but we gotta have accountability though. That's the thing.
Okay.
Of course, the system is going to be against us. We know that.
Okay.
Right. We know the system, that there's been traps, drugs, and breaking the leadership of the black community, and as far as gang violence,
all moving the fathers out of the homes,
moving the fathers out the homes, and mass incarceration. No, no, there's been systematic traps that's put in place, right? To break down the black community.
Yeah,
that's been established.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is that you can't break down somebody's moral compass. Can't break down, and that's one thing. Like, even if you look at Gaza, one thing that these people still have is their faith.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they praying in the middle of rubble.
Yeah.
You, if no matter what they, no matter what they're going through, they haven't lost their faith.
Okay.
They haven't lost their moral compass. That can't be taken away from you.
When's the last time we, as a community, we had a strong moral compass? Late 90s? Late 80s? Grimy in the early 90s. It's tough. And I mean, it can start with social, but you can't be all thirsty on IG and going to the strip club. And then, you know what I mean? It's a combination. Too much of the underworld has crept into mainstream America, which is a sign. If I told you 15 years ago, gambling ads would be on ESPN and OnlyFans would be as popular as it was, you would think I was crazy. The underworld is the mainstream now. Which goes back to the degradation of the country.
And the breakdown of community.
Absolutely.
That's what it comes down to. It comes down to the breakdown of community.
Yeah. So shout out to Umar. And you're right, we have to be accountable. But I think there are some systemic pressures that happen as a result too that may lead to that.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. No, you're right. Okay. But our guest is here.
So yes.
Let's bring our guest up if we can. All right, so Dr. Cheyenne Bryant, yes. Honor to have you.
Absolutely.
Life coach, author, motivational speaker, psychology expert.
Yes.
Somebody that I've been following for a while.
Viral sensation.
Yes.
And you have your own show now.
I do. I have my show on Fox. Yeah, we're on Fox Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. prime time. And our season 2 actually starts back up May 1st. So we did 65 episodes of first season. 65.
Wow.
Unapologetic, raw, flaming. I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing.
Congratulations.
That's huge.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I want to do it, man. We got a lot to talk about, a wide variety of different topics to talk about. But my first question for you is, you know, I know you're a psychology expert. So I'm always curious to know, like, I look at people that self-sabotage themselves, right? Whether they self-sabotage themselves in business or relationships or just in life in general. And it happens a lot. It happens a lot, right? I always wonder, is that a result of childhood trauma? Is that a result of your peers that you're around and you don't want to feel like you've elevated past them, so you'd rather stay at the level that they're at? Like, what is the cause of somebody self-sabotaging their success, and how do you overcome that hurdle so you don't become one of those victims?
No, I love that. What was the first word you said in sabotage?
Self-sabotage.
Oh, okay. Self-sabotage. So key thing is it a trauma response? Absolutely. It's a trauma response to somebody who has already sabotaged themselves, meaning they were already dismantled prior to entering into the relationship, right? So we teach what we know, we produce who we are. If I come in as a dismantled, sabotaged, abandoned, neglected, abused woman, then I produce who I am in this relationship, which means nothing you can do can make me produce something other than what I am. Broken women or men create broken homes and relationships because they come in producing who they are. I always say, again, it goes my very raw, unapologetic, and probably unpopular advice or opinion, a baby daddy gonna be a baby daddy, a baby mama gonna be a baby mama. What am I saying? What I'm saying is, a man who marries is going to produce marriage and relationships that he enters. A man who procreates is going to procreate in relationships that he gets into because he's creating who he is. This is why we usually see women who have multiple kids with multiple men. Those men usually have kids with multiple women. It's like they're recycling each other. Back to self-sabotage.
So wait, so you hold on, let me,
that's profound.
So let me just get this straight. So you say a baby daddy is gonna be, so meaning if a baby daddy in a relationship, he's going to carry that same mentality into business. Is that what you're saying?
I love
that. A baby daddy is gonna be a baby daddy. What does that mean? What does that actually mean?
Okay, let's take Offset and Cardi B. Cardi B, hold on, came into it. Single Black woman, no kids, not a divorcee, not a baby mama. She might have been dancing and stripping and doing her thing, but we're talking about what she produced. She produced a family and a husband. Offset came in with multiple beautiful babies, with multiple women, and he produced a baby mama at a Cardi B. Because they are now divorcing. And let me go further. He sent a tweet that said, I won. You're a baby mama. So listen, it's not that I have to speak it for him. He already put it out there. But let's be clear. He created and produced who he was when she chose him. She has become a product of him. See, what happens is women, men too, but tend to fall in love with how he's treating me, what he's doing for me. That's the mask. That is the costume. That is who he may really want to be. We forget to fall in love with the results that this man has already produced, because the results that he's produced will end up being the result that he produces. So again, we say, but when he came, I got it in my session earlier today. I get it all the time. But doc, when he came in, you know, he was loving. He was empowering. He was inspiring me. He wasn't abusive. He was faithful. He had three kids by three different women. I found out months or years later that he was having womanizing traits and characteristics. Let me say this. A man with multiple kids by multiple women is a womanizer. So you chose a womanizer by his result.
Wait. I know that that's going to be a controversial thing.
For sure.
But a womanizer to me is somebody that takes advantage of women. You could have a kid in a relationship, break up, get in a relationship, have a kid, break up. Now you got two women pregnant. You have two baby moms. Essentially, you have two kids. Does that make you a womanizer?
But she's speaking to what you produce as the afterthought in a broken home. Am I correct?
Yes. If I am pregnant, two women, the woman couldn't keep me. She wasn't incentive to make a family because I made a child. That's called a broken house. Hold on. Oh, the child wasn't incentive enough to keep me. So I'm going to go on to the next woman and I'm going to do the same thing. Hold on. The woman wasn't good enough to keep me. The child is not going to be good enough to keep me. Hold on. Woman number three. And woman number three goes, guess what? He's different with me. He's going to be different with me. Hold on. He put a ring on my finger. He didn't marry you, y'all baby mamas. I'm the wife. Okay. Until 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, all of a sudden she hears rough, rough. She's like, there's a dog in the house? No, baby. You knew that when you chose him. He just waited 3 to 4, 5 or 6 years to bark. Dogs bark, baby. It don't matter how silent they are. And let me explain this to you. A dog gonna bark no matter what park it's in. The small dog park, the big dog park, the beach, the Virginia park, the LA park. You take them to Rutgers. A dog gonna, when the doorbell rings, it's just about when that dog decides to bark. So again, women are choosing dogs and then going, excuse my language, this Negro barked? Girl, he barked before you. You just thought you was going to be able to train the dog. It don't work like that. Listen, people, men and women shift and change when we feel like it, if we ever feel like it. And consequence, punishment, and incentives don't change us. Mm. We do when we feel like it. Prison ain't changing people from coming out and creating the same crimes. Hold on. The relapse rate for drugs is 92%. Oh, that means that nothing, no consequence, no punishment is changing an addict from being an addict. Wait a minute. Our community, our Black community, we have broken homes and broken families. It don't matter how much child support comes knocking at a man's door, or how much drama comes with it, or how many kids become broken from it. He's going to still penetrate the next woman if that's what he chooses to do. So again, we change if we do when we decide to. Nobody does that. And what happens is, back to the self-sabotage, and yes, to your point, am I saying a man who creates two broken houses will go on to create a third one? The chances of doing that are higher than not. Will it happen every single time? Of course not. Nothing's 100%. Thank God for that. But if you just look at, go do your own study and look at the men or the women who have made these decisions. Are they doomed? No. Are they horrible people? No. Are their decisions not so good? Yes. I'm not coddling bad decision making. Will I help it? Hell yeah. Will I empower them to do differently? Hell yeah. Will I advocate for them? Absolutely. Will I love on them, have their back, and support them? Hell yeah. I do it every day. This is what I do. My father has six of us by five women. So I'm not, listen, I'm a product of what I'm advocating for, baby. I'm not sitting up here doing it from a book or because I have 5 degrees. I'm doing it from being a product of what I was in to understand how it feels to be on the receiving end as one of the kids who had a blend, to know what it feels like to be on the end of experiencing by observing my father being the best father, but a womanizer and a horrible man. And a womanizer, to your point, is not a man who's just taking advantage of women. It's a man who is dealing with multiple women at one time, and he's deceiving them because they do not know that. It doesn't matter if he's sleeping with them. It doesn't matter if he's just going to dinner with them. If there's any deception in that, he is a woman. Let me go further. There's women who are manizers. It ain't no different for women. There's women who have multiple men paying bills, multiple men they're sleeping with, conversation, dinner, whatever she deems that she wants to get out of this man. If there's multiple men, she's a manizer. She don't get no better break because she looks like me or sits down like me. She's a manizer as well. Both are equally abusive and both are equally wrong. A womanizer is a man who abuses women. Abuse isn't just this or just this or just this. Emotionally, you are deceiving me. Yeah, you're abusing that person. And it's not okay. It's okay not to be perfect. But it's not okay to deceive and to sit up there and be a wolf in sheep clothing. And what I get on woman about is you picked a wolf who showed you he's a wolf. You put the sheep clothing over him. And every time he shows his teeth, you gaslight him. But you knew who you chose. I just told, I spent an hour in the session before, in my session before I got on this interview with y'all. And the woman said for 45 minutes, she went on about this man, her husband, he's a dog. He does these things. There's a woman in his phone. When she first met him and dated him, 5 months into it, she found out he had a woman. She left him. He came back. Now they're married with some beautiful children and have a family. I said, I'm still confused at why are you so mad at this man? She said, huh? Hmm. Why are you mad? Are you mad at him because you haven't learned to love a dog? Or are you mad at him because you're really mad at yourself for not leaving what you already know you chose? You chose this cat. So I can teach you how to love a dog, or I can teach you how to leave him, but there's no point in leaving him, sis, if you're going to go to another dog park and choose again. There's no point. So it's a choosing issue with the woman or the man who's the one who is being victimized. I don't want to say there's no victim, and who's doing the choosing of the womanizer, the manizer. And then there is a deception issue and some narcissistic traits that says, listen, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I don't care who it harms. And the most painful thing is the folks, men and women, who are creating these broken homes or houses, they're doing it at the expense of their child. So you need to tell me, as a woman or a man, I don't really care how my child grows up. I don't care their experience or the trauma that I implement into them or the traumatic environment that I create. I want what I want. I want another man. I want another woman. I don't care. Hey, at some point, baby, you got to figure it out. As a child, grow up and figure out the trauma. So you're okay with creating what you want at the expense of your child? That means nothing is holding you accountable. Nothing is bigger than you. That's dangerous. That is very, very dangerous.
So do you think parents who may not have the best relationship or marriage should stay together for the child? Because I know a lot of people say that they are opposed to that.
I love that. I always say I'm not divorcing my husband. I'm not. That's why I'm taking my time, because I got to make sure he also won't divorce my ass. No, I want to make sure we end this together. I'm not leaving him. Does that mean that I'm going to put up with, I have meaning abuse or rape. Those are non-negotiables. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about the normalcy relationship, things that disagreements, he's going through some midlife crisis. I'm going through menopause and we just got some weird shit going on. I'm not leaving him. That joker just going to have to figure out how to be with me and me with him. Even if it gets down to one of us can't even sexually participate anymore because of health conditions or who knows why. We got to sit down and talk about how do we make sure this relationship is still satisfied and what does that look like per our agreement, not societal constructs. I'm not leaving him. Now, people who stay together for the sake of the kids, but they have a house that's totally impaired, that's a broken family, not a broken home. A broken home is just a single parent home. One person's in the home. Broken home. Broken family means everybody's here. Mom, dad, kids, or partners and kids. But there's so much impairment in that home that it can't function. So this is where I say a broken family can have and do more harm and cause more impairment on a child than a broken home. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
But also, okay. So I got to give you some pushback on this. Because I feel like I've been through every aspect of a relationship, right? And sometimes you go into a relationship, you're a therapist, right? So you understand mental illness is a real thing. So sometimes you go into a relationship with good intentions and you don't fully understand what you're getting yourself into. People make mistakes. How old are you?
42.
So you're a 42-year-old woman with 5 degrees, a professional. You're speaking from an elevated standpoint. When you're 24 years old, 25 years old, 23 years old, even 30 years old, or even any age, right? But it's hard to have this level of understanding and to actually be able to analyze things. And you don't even know what mental illness, you don't know that somebody's bipolar. You don't know, like you're thinking that they just having a bad day, right? Yeah. And it's like, you don't fully understand what you're getting yourself into. That's what I'm saying. Until you get yourself into it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, damn, this is a nightmare. I would always advocate to leave. I think it's never a bad choice to leave a relationship, right? Even if you have a kid, because you only live once. So to tell somebody like you have to stay in a relationship, I think that's harmful for their mental health, right? And ultimately for the family as well, because it's like, if I'm in something just because I signed up for it, I might have made a mistake. It's like a business deal. I went out. I made a mistake. Mistakes happen.
Right? To that you say, Queen?
So there's something you said that really stuck out to me. You said, you know, pretty much if the relationship is, you know, I only live once. I only live once. Let me say it again. I only live once. Okay, that's selfish as hell. Because if you're thinking about I only live once, after you've gave in one or two or three lives that are in a house from the ages of, let's just say, 1 to 15, 1 to 6, 1 to just their children or adolescents that don't have the insight to make decisions, but you made that decision for them to bring them into this I only live once life, you should have thought about that selfish decision prior to bringing a child in and then making them a product and projecting onto them your selfishness. Now, if you say to me, look, doc, we in this home, there's some mental illness to the point where there's abuse, even if it's not on the kids, but it's between you and your wife, right? The kids are seeing it. We've gone to therapy. We try to work this out. You know, I wanted to stay for my children because I wanted them to be a family. I understand there's something bigger than me that I created. So I want to try to do this for them. I've even sat and had a conversation with her and said, listen, let's co-parent in this house together. Let's figure out how we can co-parent in here so we can have a family culture. And you and I, as two adults, figure out how we do what we need to do outside the house or in the house to make this machine move, because it's a family dynamic. It ain't an I dynamic. Once you decide to have a family, I only live once goes out the window. It's called a family dynamic. How do we all win? How does the family win? Not how do I sabotage, flee this? First question you ask with self-sabotage, you have to be very self-dismantled to be okay with dismantling a family because you only live once. No. Now, again, if there's abuse in there, okay, and you came and said, look, it's too much impairment. Now we have a broken family and it's to a point where it's not fixable. Damn right. As your coach, I'm gonna say, I will help y'all dissipate this relationship, this marriage, but not when you're just telling me there's some disagreements and I'm unhappy here because we're going through a season that doesn't feel good. Well, you're going to take your selfish tail to another relationship, and that relationship is going to experience a season that doesn't feel good. And well, because you're not emotionally intelligent enough or mature enough to sit through seasons in a relationship, all you're going to do is sabotage over and over again. That goes back to me saying, look at the person. They create who they are. So that man who says, I only live once, I'm out, he gonna go create that I only live once, I'm out again with the next woman.
Well, I was talking about abuse. So you know, so if somebody's being abusive, you can leave. Abuse comes in many forms.
I support anyone leaving. Like if my client came and said, I just want to leave just because I want to, I'm very client-centered, meaning I'm gonna help them get where they want to go. If they ask me my opinion, I would say, if there's no abuse, let's reshape or reinvent this marriage, right? Let's try to reprogram the marriage, because I'm all for family and marriage if that's what people want. But if they say, nah, I want to be out of here, I want to go, I don't care, she looked at me wrong, then I'm going to help them do what they want to do. Now, my personal advice and opinion, if it's abuse, absolutely, that's a green light for get the hell out of there, right? But I also will say this, if a couple came and said, look, because I have couples that come in, the woman is saying he's abusive, and I'm going, no, baby, y'all abusive.
It's each other.
Yeah.
And just so we're clear, women can be abusive to men. Going through somebody's phone is abuse, right?
Going through someone's phone is abuse? No. You got to explain.
How is that not abuse? It's an invasion of privacy.
Wait, if a man or a woman, hold on. That's why I said we got to clear it up. If a man or a woman goes through each other's phone, you're saying goes through, meaning like this.
Take your phone. You sleeping.
You told each other that you cannot. I'm not authorizing you to go on my phone.
Right. Right.
Oh, okay. I'm with you. I got you. Yes.
That's abuse.
We both agreed we are not authorizing each other to go through each other's phone. Then you have disrespected that person's boundary.
Well, no, but I think it's the other way around. I think you have to agree to go, like, I don't have to have a conversation with Ian to say, yo, don't go through my phone. Yo,
hack into your laptop.
To go through Ian's phone without, we don't have to have that conversation. That's an invasion of his privacy. That's disrespectful. That's abuse. We have to have a conversation of, hey, Ian, you can go through my phone. Yeah. I can go.
Well,
through
I don't. Right? I don't think I would call it as far as abuse. Do I think it's invasion of privacy? Do I think it's crossing a boundary? Yes, and I do agree with you that unless I'm telling you, you have the authority to go through my phone, then that means you do not have the authority to go through my phone, my purse, my bag, your car, whatever it is. Yes. That's where communication is vital. That's where we sit and say, listen, I'm into transparency, but transparency looks like this. Or you can have access to my house, my laptop, but you can't have access to, let's just say, you know, my phone or my Kindle. I'm just naming things at this point, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I think those are things that people have the right to literally create and draw out what is subjectively a healthy, happy relationship for them. There's no one way to do it. Two people that come in and say, look, I'm transparent, go on my phone, go on your phone. We have each other's bank accounts. You can access credit cards. Then if that works and it causes a healthiness, they need to run those plays. But you got a lot of people who are getting into relationships saying, don't go through my phone. Don't go through my phone. Don't access this. Don't access that. And then the main thing they're arguing about in my session that they're divorcing or they're breaking up about is what? The inability to access each other. So that means that you are not creating boundaries or rules of engagement that are working. Because if us not having access to each other's bank account or our cell phones is the reason why we're breaking up, then we've created rules of engagement that are working. It's a reverse Uno. That makes no sense at all. But if I say, look, go through my phone, bank account, and we're open and we're having a healthy relationship, then that is just someone who built a foundation that works.
You talk a lot about broken families, but for everyone here tonight, what's the blueprint to making a healthy family structure? And how can we get our community back on track to be more loving, raising children properly, and having a great community amongst each other?
I love that. The first thing is, you know, I always say it, the only way to a long-term relationship, and when I say relationship, I'm not just talking about romantic relationship. I'm talking about relationships across our entire community, is just not to ever leave. Now, again, staying means you're doing a lot of communicating. You're having a lot of self-awareness, a lot of sense of self, so I can teach the other person, whether it's my parent or my partner or my romantic partner, my husband, you know, wife for men, what does it look like to stay with me? What's needed to activate the better parts of me? And what's needed to activate the better parts of you? What are, if we have any, our non-negotiables? So that we understand what boundaries we cannot cross if we want to keep this. However, if those boundaries are crossed, what is our go-to? What is our go-to before we leave? What is our go-to before we, in your word, self-sabotage? Because a lot of times the breakup, the divorce is a trauma response. Most people don't even want to break up or leave. I'm not saying all, I'm saying most. Let me tell you why. Because they break up and leave and end up back into a relationship almost identical to what they just left. You can't tell me you wanted to leave something that you ended up choosing immediately right after.
Yeah.
That means you wanted to work that out, but you didn't have the proper tools to doing so. We need to have the proper tools, even friends. I'm talking about even friendships, right? Especially our romantic relationships. We need the proper tools, and the proper tools are not fleeing. They're not sabotaging, and they're not abandoning each other. I'm talking about even us three just as buddies, right? The proper way is not for me to look at the things you say, disagree with them, and then make a decision that I'm never going to speak to y'all again. The proper thing is for y'all to hold space for me to say, I disagree with X, Y, and Z. And then for me to hold space for you to articulate why you stand on business about that. And then we figure out that you stand on that business, I don't. So what does that mean for the medium of this relationship? Not I only live once, so I ain't got to deal with y'all disagreeing with me. It's
it feels like you're attacking my friend.
I respect and love myself enough that I want to hold space for you so we can have a healthy relationship really quick, because how we do one thing is how we do everything. So if I constantly sabotage and flee just in friendships, I'm never going to be able to sustain a family ship with my husband and kids.
So, all right, let me ask you, this is a two-part question. Yeah. You said something to the effect of you are who you are, right? Like, if you have these traits, that's usually what's going to happen again in the future, right? So my question to that is, what about rehabilitation, right? Because if there's a lot of people that have put themselves in different situations, right? We'll be throwing away millions of people, discarding millions of people if we just say, if you have a baby mom, you're not qualified to be a husband. That's a lot of people, right? And then my second part to my question is, a lot of that deals come from childhood trauma, right?
Like, for sure.
They grew up in single parent households. So they're going to repeat, they're going to do the things that they've seen growing up environmentally wise, right? Is there a process where somebody can be reprogrammed, or are they just
permanently damaged
and discardable in relationships as well?
I love this. Listen, this might have been the best question you've asked so far this whole interview. Let me tell you why, because I say it over and over again on all my interviews. Nobody is doomed. But when I say you are who you are, it means a man who has a strong appetite for women, a woman who has a strong appetite to be a gold digger, right? They both marry whoever, each other, someone else. What I say by you are who you are means that man's appetite for women does not go away because he now becomes married on paper or because he's in love or loves this woman. What he's going to have to do is when that appetite inflames, he's going to have the proper tools to regulate and manage that. That's why I say marriage is for disciplined people. Watch this. I have a strong personality and I grew up in a household with women who married, had, you know, always had married husband. I grew up in a two-parent household, but were very, very, not alpha. They were very dogmatic, very domineering, almost to the point where they can become emasculating. Okay. I seen it, learned behavior. So what did I do when I first got engaged at 20? I mean, right? To your point, at being 23, 24, a lot of stuff you don't have the insight for. And he would just take it, but be like, whoa. And did I reprogram? Yes. Am I still me? Yes. At 42, and that was 20 years old, at 42, if I'm in a relationship and my guy gets to having a certain tone or saying certain things, does that same little girl or that young woman come up that says, who in the fuck are you talking to? Absolutely. Guess what happens to the healed, mature, emotionally intelligent Dr. Brian or Cheyenne? She checks the 20-year-old and says, we're not doing that in this relationship. She checks her and says, same message, different tone. She checks her and says, same message, different words. You can ask them who the fuck you talking to by saying, baby, I don't like your tone right now. Like, we got to talk differently. Definitely. This ain't going to work. That says who the fuck you talking to. But now I'm choosing. It's called a choice to self-regulate, to manage myself, which is discipline, and to be obedient to the way I want to show up in this relationship. So will we be who we are? 100%. Well, can we learn, which is the reprogramming, the rehabilitation you're talking about, the tools to self-regulate, check ourselves, self-talk, take a moment and breathe and say, nah, I made a different decision to never do this again. I promised and committed to myself, I'm not cheating on this woman. I promised and committed. So let me call my boy and say, look, I told you, man, when I have these feelings, you was going to be my accountability partner. Talk to me, dog. Pray with me. I'm on my way, not to have a drink and not to engage in my womanly appetite, but for you to remind me of what I committed to. See, these are tools, accountability partners. These are real relationships, people who hold you accountable and remind you why you got married, why you're a father, why you're different now, why you changed. Now, watch this. Does that mean that you're never, ever, ever allow that appetite to overtake you? That don't mean that. That doesn't mean that. Will it become easier for you to regulate the more you do it? Absolutely. But we are who we are. We just learn to manage who we are. That's it. And we learn to put ourselves in environments that don't activate the appetite, that don't activate the abuser, that don't activate me to say who you're talking to. Because let me say this, if I got with a man who was a type of hoorah, and he kept hoorah me, because I'm a woman of accountability, man, let me tell you something. I would have probably only self-regulated a good 2-3 times before I have to explain to him who we talking to and let him know I'm going to have to make a phone call. But do you see? You see that? So why I would never choose a man who I know would activate the domineering, dogmatic woman in me, because I want to be loving and soft. I want to king him. I want to submit to him. I don't want to be with a man where I got to go. So why choose that?
For those who are looking to heal, and I know a lot of people talk about healing but don't actively do the work, what tools would you recommend for men, like three tips or tools, and three tips for women? Because I'm sure the journey may be a little bit different based on gender.
It is very different. I think men have to be, from what I've learned, not a man, y'all, but from doing this 17 plus years, my men who are my clients, who I love, I got a soft spot for men, especially for Black men, because I'm a daddy's girl. Y'all need a safe space. And when I say space, safe, I don't mean to be able to be who we need you to be, or be who society thinks you should be, or be the dogma that you've become. I'm talking about the safe space to be exactly who you've never been, to say the things you've never been able to say, and know that two things: that won't be weaponized against you, it won't be held against you in the court of relationships, and to your point, hope has to be installed and implemented that there is chance for rehabilitation, for reprogramming, and for shifting. Men have to know, is there a way out of this? After I tell you all my stuff, is there tools that can get this going in a different direction? Can I manage it, Doc? Tell me I'm not doomed. Tell me that there is a better way out. Tell me that I'm not going to be in this box just surviving forever. Is there a thrive? Is there a promised land? Men want to know, is this the wilderness? Am I always going to have to fight the bears and the lions, or is there a promised land? And when I get to the promised land, will I still be judged? Men like the clean slate of, I did it, I healed, I'm doing my best, can you leave me alone? Yeah. Doesn't mean they don't want accountability. They don't want to be weaponized. Women need, you're going to be okay. Someone has your back. We see you, sis. We hear you, sis. And you don't have to do it alone. I've yet to meet a woman, especially Black woman, who hasn't had that, I've always did it alone, so I don't even know how to feel. I don't even have a relationship with the emotions, Doc, because I didn't have the leverage, the luxury of feeling, because feelings cause heartbreak. Feelings dismantle me with my parents for women, with their father for women, in their relationships for women. And I'm going to go here, especially with Black men for women. So it's, is there a place where I won't be dismantled? If I choose to feel, and if I choose to give this piece of me to him or even to you, can you facilitate it with fragility, or will it be placed over there unseen, neglected, abandoned, and dismantled again? See, it's interesting because I don't hear a lot of men come in afraid of the dismantling thing. I hear men coming in saying, I don't want to be judged, and I want to know that there is a better or different way to doing this. Give me the different, better tools. Can this hammer that I destroyed my whole life with, can it build a mansion for me, Doc? I was gonna say, when Black women and men, or just men and women in general, are healing together, there has to be more facilitating, space holding, that companion in grace. Or I have no companion, no grace, and I'm gonna come in as a blank canvas, and all I will do is just hold space. I have no opinion, no judgment. I'm just here. We as women and men have to just learn how to hold each other, not provide a solution, not attempt to understand, hold each other. Because like the Bible says, you love your partner by knowledge of them. Holding your partner does what? Gives you knowledge of them, because you're not self-projecting. You're not trying to understand, because some things you may not understand. All I need to do is learn you. And learning you doesn't mean I understand. You know how many parents have kids? They just can't understand why in the hell they do X, Y, and Z, but they know that's what they do.
Yeah.
The knowledge. And lastly, in relationships, romantic relationships and marriages, we really have to learn to love each other with the same unconditional love that mothers love their children, and that real fathers love their daughters, which means I love you through it. I love you with it. You're worthy enough for me to love you in and throughout your trauma. You're worthy enough for me to go with you to therapy. You're worthy enough for me to say, you need therapy, I don't, but I'm here, I'm not leaving, and I love you, and it's okay. And if I got to give you a moment or two, that's cool, but I'm not leaving you. I love you. I love you is an action word. It's not a fleeing word. It's not abandonment. It's not abuse. It's not stonewalling. It's, baby, I don't like what's going on, so I'm a back out so I can be okay, but I'm in the next room. Text me. I'm at the nail shop. I love you. I don't know how to facilitate you right now. When you learn, please teach me. Can I go to therapy with you so I can learn too? Do you need me to just to lay in the bed and shut the hell up? No problem. You want me to sit with you and watch ESPN while it's on repeat for the next 2 hours and just watch it loop? I'm here. But I got a meeting at 4, so I want to let you know I got to leave at 3:50. But I'm not leaving you. I'm going to take care of business. See, that is what we need. We have to make sure we understand I'm not leaving through it all. I came to stay. And staying takes staying power. Staying isn't just a promised land. People want to stay in the good stuff.
Facts.
They sabotage when it gets rough because that person who can leave was never plugged into themselves to begin with. And we have so many unplugged people in our community that we're not even knowing that we're not plugged into each other, but we plug in sexually and create all these unplugged children, unplugged households that are growing up to say, well, shoot, you know what I mean? Just leave, just pivot, just spin the block. Okay. And it's not doing, it's causing us to be the lowest, brokest socioeconomic community. The highest when it comes to any health disparity, the most marginalized and divided community. And that is a impoverished community. There's no wealth in that. There's no, that's why I said, I'm not leaving my husband. I'm not leaving him. I'm going to tell him, take your ass in another room and figure it out, bro. And you better be in bed with me when I get in bed tonight. Even if I don't want you to touch me, you better be in that bed, both of us. I'm not leaving you. Now, I'll lead with you. I'll try to help you. I'm probably going to need a break from you. Not from the relationship, just from your presence in the same house or in the same city together. But I'm not leaving to go have to do this again. That's all that we're doing. We're recycling the same shit with the next person. Why is everything a dismantle? Because people are dismantled within themselves. What I say, we create who we are in anything we get involved in. I'm not dismantling my husband because I'm not coming dismantled. And I'm damn sure not dismantling my kids. If we got to sit them down and talk to them, we're going to have a conversation. Because I seen my grandparents, death did them part. Half the time, being real, they slept in separate rooms. And they would cross each other. And sometimes it'd be fuck you and she'd be saying fuck you too. But let me tell you something. For the 60 years they were together, he ain't miss a bill. We ain't miss a meal. She didn't work. She didn't miss a meal for him. She cleaned up the house, ironed his clothes. They kept their commitment to the role of that house. To the role of that house. And us kids grew up in a two-parent household. And we got to see some healthy family trips. And we got to see some healthy, unhealthy relationship normalcy. Meaning like Michelle Obama said, she didn't like Obama for 10 years. I got to see my grandparents not like each other. And then on Thanksgiving, we turn on music and they dancing and she dropping it like it's hot on him. And y'all know we black and the family going crazy, but they just didn't like each other for 2 months. Now Christmas.
10 years is crazy though.
10 years is different.
10 years. What? Less crazy. Wow.
But she would have left him to just go not like another man.
You make valid points.
You make valid points.
The family structure of our grandparents in that era. Yeah, of course, everybody's not going to be on the same page all the time, but they stayed together.
Mm-hmm. Work through it.
And that's beneficial. Most of the time, that'll be beneficial, right? My thing is this, right? Like, I feel like when you come up the ranks and you reach some level of success, like, you kind of become emotionally detached, like, each level sometimes. Like, so it's hard to get in a relationship after a while because it's like, yeah, you have to kind of have some level of emotional detachment to navigate through life and to reach levels of success, but that can be harmful in a relationship. So how do you combat that for like people that have been on their own for a long time, entrepreneurs, people that's dealt with disloyalty, all that type of stuff, and they carry in that level
that
of
baggage,
that coldness, that detachedness into a relationship?
It's a great question.
Great question. I beg to differ. I don't think you have to be emotionally detached to do great business. I think you have to be able to emotionally regulate to do great business, meaning you have to have a really great relationship with emotions. That's that sense of self. You have to be able to be in boardrooms and know how to be transactional and go home to your wife or husband and know how to be relational. That's just called being a hybrid. That means that I know how to tap into me to get the deal closed and shake hands and be transactional and go to happy hour, or when in Rome, do Rome, or when in a cigar lounge, closing the deal, grab a cigar lounge, have a glass of scotch and be transactional. And I know how to go home and go, baby, I love you. I missed you. Daddy, I brought you some food home. What are you doing? What are we doing? Did you still want to do Taco Tuesday tonight? See, that's about being well-rounded. And that's where being truly authentically who you are is what benefits us. When we compartmentalize parts of us so we can thrive over here, we end up in an imbalanced world. And this is when mental health comes in, depression, suicidal ideation, because you get to a place of loneliness, there's no more solitude. So a man with all kinds of monetary value, which is the high value man, can be, because they're in my sessions all the time, the most suicidal dude you'll ever meet, because he has no balance. But the man who says, I'm a hybrid, I am so in tune with myself that I can go in this boardroom, shake hands, smile, do my thing, know when to cut out and go home and just bear hug my wife and kiss all over her and hear the kids say, daddy, daddy, and go, this is why I do it all, so that I can come home and be fully emotional, fully present. But you have to have a partner that knows how to do what? Facilitate you and let you be all of your moving parts. That partner also can't require that you compartmentalize yourself, because when we learn how to compartmentalize, to your point, we do it everywhere. And then we carry ourselves as a compartmentalized person and we lose sense of self. And now we're cold to not just the world, but to us, to us. And so then people experience us when they get us. They experience cold. You're emotionally unavailable. And then you're going, but damn, I used to be so emotionally available. I used to be so emotionally plugged in. I used to be so affectionate and so loving. Now I'm just transactional. I'm a robot, because you compartmentalize yourself. And that's where mental health comes in. I'm telling you, when people lose who they are because we put ourselves in all these boxes and we lose the boxes, meaning we lose ourselves, we're like, where did joy go again? It's in that box. Where the fuck is the box at? Wait, where did peace go again? Also in that box over there. Well, where's the box? Did I leave it at the last address before I moved, or the last board meeting, or the last interview? That's why I try my best, fellas. I try my best to keep myself with my mom and my brother and my best friends and my nieces, my nephews, my siblings. I try to stay at their football games, and we have group time. I try to stay with the normalcy of my mom. She cooks and she cleans and she likes to do normal things. And she, you know, we went to eat the other day for my brother's birthday. My best friend said, we should have went to a fancy restaurant. My mom and my brother wanted IHOP. We in IHOP singing happy birthday with birthday presents. It sounds, I'm a little girl from the inner city, from the hood. So IHOP and Denny's was my thing. It felt so good to be in IHOP singing happy birthday.
Yeah.
Because it kept me grounded.
Grounded. Yep.
Grounded. And so we got to have the balance of just being the regular dude you used to be from the inner city or the suburbs, whatever you are, but knowing how to suit up and check it in and go into the boardroom, because that gives you, even if you're single, that gives you balance. It gives you balance. And when your life becomes in balance, that's when mental health seeps in. Mental health is just an imbalance. Impairment just means you're out of balance, right? Your baseline is out of balance. That's all it means. Nothing else. If someone is diagnosed with schizoaffective, guess what? They have a chemical imbalance. That's all. The psychotic meds, all it does is provide a serotonin intake, or it creates a neurological balance for them so that their chemical isn't off and they're not bipolar anymore. That's all it is. Depression. It's an imbalance in your cortisone levels. That's all it is. So now you take an antidepressant. So it releases serotonin, which is your dopamine. And guess what? Now you're balanced. When we can do it on our own, we can do it on our own. Get the tools, check in, learn how to be transactional, but relational. Don't lose yourself and compartmentalize who you are. Tap into all your moving parts, man. The funny you, the goofy you, the angry you, the happy you, the hurt you. Tap into those things. Meditation helps with that. So you can get familiar with when anger is there. So you know when anger inflames. You can say, hold up, big dog. Let's talk about this. Let me regulate anger. Not I'm foreign to anger because I compartmentalize it. Now anger's here in a relationship. I've never even been an abusive guy, but since I am not familiar with anger and how it shows up in me, it got the best of me. I didn't became an abuser when I never been because we lost ourselves. We have to stay familiar with these emotions and how they show up in us so we know when to check them, when to bring them, when to regulate them, and when to let them work for us. And that's just what self-mastery is.
I think you dropped a lot of gems tonight and you seem very practical and logical to me, and I'm sure to Rashad as well. Why the hell do you get such a visceral response online every time I see a clip of you? Like, what's the trigger point for our community that every time we see you, it's like, well, why is she reading Cam or Nick? And it's like, I think you're trying to help our community in the same way we have in investing, because the relational part, I think we had more of a deficit than we are in investing and finance space. But what do you say to the people that may give you such a strong pushback for what you're trying to achieve?
Well, one, we have a very sensitive culture, and our culture doesn't like to hear anything that is against their belief system, right? Or what is normal for them. And anytime we challenge the norms of our Black culture or community, it's an issue. And that has become an issue because we as a culture need to be challenged the most by each other with emotional intelligence, respect, and love, because shifting of anything and changing the trajectory of something comes with challenging and moving it so that it goes into a different direction and it then aims somewhere else and hits a different bullseye to get a different result. The other thing is what I would say is, you know, I have a purpose, and my purpose is to do what I'm doing, is to shift a culture, change the trajectory, and bring awareness to everybody. And so I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to interrupt intergenerational pathologies, which is called generational curses. I'm here to bring provoking thought to people who are doing provoking things that are not breeding them good results. And if it takes someone, everyone, I don't care for that sake, to dislike me, for them to hear what God wants them to hear, for them to shift and change in the ways that they need to, then I tell God this all the time, bring on the scrutiny. God built me to have thick skin. God built me to be able to take weight. And so when he puts weight on me and I'm built for this, then I bench press. I'm not putting down no barbell. You know, I'm not doing that. And when he puts a certain level of too much is given, much is required, when he puts a certain level of scrutiny on me, he's already built me to take it because my sheep will know my voice. And so I'm not out here attempting to go viral. I'm not out here saying, you know, I want to say these things so I can get attention. I say this with all due respect. I've been a pretty good looking girl and woman my whole life. I've done really well from the age of 19 buying my first home. I was already in the inner city, pretty much a hood celebrity, if you want to call it. I don't need to do any of this to get attention. Yeah. Anyone who's known me from being a little girl growing up in the inner city will say, Shy's been the same way. The only difference is y'all getting there at a 3. And in the hood, we got her at a 10. Y'all lucky. Because I really do. I shift it so the message doesn't get mixed up in my delivery so that I'm at a 3 or a 4 of my spiciness. But when we're having backyard conversations at the CBSA, that's what we call our house, or we're having talk night, game night, I bring it to them. And these people can take it. And so all I'm saying is I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to do a job. Those who love me get the lesson. Those who don't get the lesson as well. But regardless of what it is, these are awarenesses that our community needs, and it's tools that I'm hoping that they're used so that we can just become better as a community. You know, one person changes a household, That household changes the block, that block changes a neighborhood, and that neighborhood changes a community. And we know that community then does what? It changes the world. And so I'm just the one little girl in that house from the inner city, and I'm going to be on the mountaintop, and I'm going to speak and use my voice to bless and change people as much as I can, because mental health is not just a Black right, y'all. It's a human right. And until we start talking about the real essence of it, folks won't have the awareness of. There's too many people that look like us who don't even understand that they're depressed because they learned it in a household and literally blowing up my email, my DMs, my team, saying, I didn't even know I had this concern. I didn't even know mental illness existed in me. I didn't know depression or anxiety was that until Doc said it. Now I'm in therapy. Now I'm getting help. Now I'm doing things differently. Those are the same people that are saying, what the hell is she talking about? Get this woman who's single, who don't have any kids, who can't give us no advice, you know, off my feed. They're the ones, believe it or not, in my DMs, in my email saying thank you. Mm. And I don't need no one to thank me. I just want them to do better. I just want them to do better. I want them to do different or whatever that looks like for them. I want us out of survival, man. We are a community that can thrive. We don't have to be in the wilderness. We can be in the promised land. The promised land is right here. It's in your mind. It's in your choices. And it's in the results that you create.
Well, I want to thank you for your time. Very, very insightful conversation for sure. Anything you want to leave the audience with? Your show information, anything like that?
Yeah. Well, my book, Mental Detox, is out. It will be revised and relaunched June of this year, 2025. And you can get that on every platform where you can get books from. You can go to my website, drbryan.co, to book a session or to book me to speak. My talk show, True Talks, 65 episodes. Go binge watch all of it on YouTube, on Foxo. And we coming back spicy as hell May 1st with a whole lot of unapologetic raw stuff. So if you love the doc, what she has to say, or if you kind of like, you know, this, like they do Stephen A, if you don't like what I say, but you like to listen to it because, you know, not liking somebody and listening to them is your trauma dysfunctional norm, then hell, watch me because of that as well. But watch me, use the tools. I say what I say with love, but you know, everything is not always gentle parenting. And my way of parenting our community, damn sure ain't gentle, and it's not going to change anytime soon. So I believe in parenting in the way that works, and it ain't nothing going to be gentle about it. So I love y'all. And y'all check me out on my page, underscore Dr. Brown on Instagram. And thank y'all so much for having me and for having this platform.
Of course, an honor.
It's you guys who allow for people who look like us to hear things, to get it. And it's your platform that's really changing life. So thank you so much.
I appreciate you. Thank you so
much. Thank you so much.
Of course.
All right. Insightful conversation.
Therapy on a go.
Therapy on the go. That's a fact.
Shout out to Dr. Bryant.
Shout out to Dr. Bryant. No, definitely wanted to just have her have room to speak.
Yes. Oh, I saw that it was only about the Kendra G. Being too argument. Y'all got to pick y'all poison. Y'all want us to wake it up and be entertaining or give space and grace.
Yeah, you know that therapy. Do you believe in therapy?
I do if you have a therapist who has a track record of achievement in their personal lives and have helped others. I think it's a bunch of therapists who's out here regurgitating shit they heard on YouTube. So my thing is that, like, if your life, this is my golden rule for everything. I'll listen to you and take the advice if your life is somewhere I want to be. If I don't see that shit working in your personal life, though, no go. So I think it's like any profession. You have 1%, 5% in the field who may not be that great. But if you get a good therapist who knows what they're talking about and they live their mantras and their teachings, it could be a good investment. What about you? You think some bullshit?
I believe in therapy.
Okay.
I do believe in therapy for sure. I feel like a lot of people have trauma.
For sure.
Unhealed trauma.
Trauma, a lot of it.
And hurt people.
For sure.
And they're passing along that trauma every day to somebody else. And then that person's passing it along to somebody else. And then it's like a domino effect. And you see it in kids. You know, I'm around kids a lot, you know, being with my son. So you can see the behavior of a kid, and you can directly correlate it to, oh, his dad's not there.
Yeah.
Or his mom is not there. She working late, or nobody's ever coming to see him play. And, you know, you could just see how they
it makes a difference,
how they act out, how they emotionally unstable, how they it's
or not confident as a result.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see it. And it's crazy because it's like, I could see it. I could tell. Oh, yeah, it's problems in this kid's household.
Yeah.
Just by the way that he's acting. So, yeah, it's like talking to somebody is helpful for sure. But I do feel that some people need therapy. Some people need medication. There is a difference.
There's a difference.
There is a difference.
Some, yes. I agree. You know 1,000%.
So I think that needs to be, because I've even with this Kanye thing, I've heard people say like, yo, he needs therapy. Kanye needs it's medication. Kanye needs medication.
Yeah.
There's a difference between some things you can't talk out.
Yeah.
Is some people have chemically imbalanced.
Balance, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, but you just have to address it the right way, right? Like, I do believe. Now, there is some things that I think that you can do on your own, as far as like, you know, exercise and what you eat and meditation and all that. But it's just like if you have a headache, like if I have a headache, I'm taking Advil. I'm not ashamed of that.
Yeah.
And I feel like we put a stigma on mental illness where people are ashamed
to get help.
But it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's like if you have anything, right? Like high blood pressure, you wouldn't feel the shame about taking medication for high blood pressure. You wouldn't feel ashamed about taking medication for diabetes.
Yeah.
You wouldn't feel ashamed about taking, like I said, a painkiller because you have a headache or a toothache. It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times people, you know, it's a stigma about that particularly, and they don't want to take it. Then when you're not complying with medication, then that can cause problems. So slippery slope as far as that's concerned, but that's a mental health thing that I think that people really fully have to understand. Like I said, I've seen that with Kanye, and they're like, yo, he need to talk to somebody, he need to have therapy. Bro,
he's
way past therapy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but I'm glad that she spoke. I think she brought up a lot of valid points as far as, you know, the not leaving thing is something I'm still, you know, but like I said, I mean, it's a difference between abuse.
For sure.
Always leave if you're being abused.
Abuse, yes.
And abuse doesn't come from physical abuse. You're getting verbally abused. You're getting, you know, emotionally abused. That person's a broken person.
Yeah.
And you staying is only going, and like I said, I'm going to stand by the, because when I'm saying the YOLO thing, I'm not saying it from a perspective of me being selfish. I'm saying that our grandparents had no choice. They had, that's the other part of the
point. Left out, yeah.
That's the left out part of it as well, right? Like, we the day and age now where you can actually become something. You can pursue your dreams. You can do this. You can change the world. You can do different things. And I'm not going to sacrifice that just to say I signed up for some shit. Nah.
And I've known a lot of men who have ruined their lives staying too long.
No, that's a fact. Because one kid turns to two kids, turns to three kids, now you can't leave.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know. Everybody's got their own opinion. But for me personally, I'm never going to stay in a relationship or any situation just because I signed up for it.
How much time do you give it before you leave?
Well, I think it depends. You know, if you marry to somebody, then I think you should try to give it the college effort, right? Where I think that takes at least a couple of years. I think, you know, if you marry to somebody and 3 months down the line, it's like, oh, it's not working. Then you didn't that unless there's something that really happened, then that's not a serious situation. But after, if you're in a relationship for 2 years, it's a long time.
I'm not disagreeing.
Right? Like,
I'm not disagreeing. I've never been married. We will take experts and people who are not married. I hear y'all, but y'all be having a lot to say about them investing topics, and y'all net worth is.
But fight for your marriage.
Fight for love.
Fight for love.
Yes.
For sure.
It's no better thing on earth. It's in top 10 for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Speaking of integrity and sticking around, Bay Boy, next time Sam tell you to leave.
Sam? Altman?
No, Black Sam. The Sam with the real Sam.
The real Sam.
Bay Boy. Go to In-N-Out at Pollo Loco. Shout out to Sam.
Well, that goes back to something that we said before as far as if you stand with somebody that I don't agree with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't play both. This is the 50 Cent thing too, right?
You can't play both sides. A lot of the people who play both sides get sent to infiltrate, or worst case scenario, they'll be sent to do you real harm. I know some of y'all get mad at me. Well, I didn't see when such and such said whatever about you. I hear you. Stay on that side though. I'm cool. Don't be fair weather. And especially in that situation, when someone's lost their life, how do you play both sides? No.
Loyalty.
Come on, man. And a lot of y'all need to stop playing with the person you don't know is like that. I know Sam come off very kind and peaceful and demure. Boy. Okay. The ones who really with that, you will never see it till it's too late. Talk about giving grace. Oh, boy. He would have hit you to Rancho Cucamonga.
Give me no grace.
That's my guy, buddy. You can't give me no grace. Sometimes you got to pop out. Let somebody know.
That's a fact. Yay. You can't give me no grace.
Nah, quit playing with me.
That's a fact.
Some of y'all be playing, and then it start being playtime. You want to cry. It's too late, my boy. Bay boy, how I get more lit in your city than you? You got a lot to say. Ooh. I be in your city, talking your town, and I ain't even from here. Baby boy, I hear you though. Okay.
What city are you referring to?
Whatever city he from. Boy from Bayview, somewhere. Bayonne, I don't know where he from.
Bayonne.
I don't even know where he from, really.
Big Jersey.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Shout out to Sue Surf. I get called the big dog from Jersey and New York, if you know what I mean?
Free the wave.
For real.
Okay. So, okay, before we wrap, a few things. Man, let's talk about at what point in time, like when, how many chances do you give a person? It could be a relationship, a friendship, a business associate. At what point, how many chances do you give a person before it's over?
It depends on the severity of the fuck up. But usually my rule of thumb, two. The first one, maybe I didn't tell you, this is the boundary. Don't do this. I don't operate in this way. The second one, it's over with. Now, if it's a small, okay, they forgot to send an email. They were not on time. Missed the flow. Okay. Those things can be fixed, but a big grievance, like not being loyal or playing both sides or theft or trying to take intellectual property, those. I call it New Jalisco. Wrap it up. What about you?
I mean, me, I do the. I think Drake had a line where he said, this game is different. You only got one strike.
You give it one.
So, but here's the thing. I'm not going to cut somebody off after one strike. Unless you said, like, this is a complete run. I'm not, but my brain is already.
You're on high notice.
Now I'm already, like, I might even be checked out mentally.
Yeah.
After the first time, I'm like.
Do you communicate the frustration, though,
that's part of my problem.
That's toxic, yo. In a relationship, too, one time, and you like.
Well, you start to, it's like.
You build a case on something.
Yeah, because it's hard to really ever get back to that, because it's like, all right. Cool, but I'm three strikes you out type dude.
Okay,
and this is I had to learn this because the more if somebody is doing this on a consistent basis, it's a pattern and it's going to continue to happen. So
and you're enabling it at that point.
Yeah, for sure. You're part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you make three major fuck ups,
now
I start to look at it like it's like a casino where the dude said, Sam Rothstein. He hired his the gaming commission's nephew,
mm-hmm.
and the dude was an idiot, and he made a mistake on a slot machine, cost him a bunch of money, and he fired him. And they came to him, and he was like, "Yo, can you hire my nephew back?" Da, da, da. And he says, "Look, one of two things happened: either he's in on it,
yep,
right, and I can't have somebody who's a thief working for me, right? So either he's in on this job and he's purposely trying to sabotage my establishment, or he's too incompetent to know what happened
and catch it.
Either way,
either
way, he's too dangerous for me to employ him, right? Because either you're purposely, because after three times, either you're purposely trying to fuck up my shit,
absolutely,
or you're too incompetent for this to run smoothly and you're fucking up the shit. Mm-hmm. Either way, you're still fucking it up.
Yeah.
So I can't extend any more grace than that, because you're a danger to the operation at that point.
For sure. Also, we got to do a better job of picking the right people who will be competent and not fuck up. That's the other part that we don't talk about enough. But at some point, we have to highlight the ones, because we usually know.
Screening process.
For sure. And everything must be earned, every tier. Some of y'all personally hit me, yo, why don't I be at such and such with you? Something happened. And be right, with all love and respect. At some point, some betrayal happened, or you didn't deliver on something. And now we just got to be cool at this level. I'm sorry. Can you get back in? Maybe. But, and I'm going to be real, quit fucking up. You don't. Sometimes you won't get a second opportunity at greatness. Sometimes you only get one shot to make things work, or you blow your whole opportunity.
Take pride in what you're doing.
Absolutely.
That's a fact.
Yep. Even if everything isn't going right, you still got to put up. But even when Krause and Jordan was getting to it, Jordan didn't start averaging 19 points.
That's a fact.
Because he was mad at Reinsdorf. He went out there and fucking balled.
That's a fact.
Still got to put up numbers. Talk through everything. You still have to perform at a high level, though.
And before we leave, the last thing I want to talk about, because this kind of went a little semi-viral on our page. Shout out to Dara. So we interviewed the head of Say Less. Mm-hmm. And this is a question I've been wondering for years. Is a restaurant, these restaurants won't seat you unless you're with your whole party. Mm-hmm. I asked him a question. He gave me a good answer. But in the comments, it was 90% of the people that was like against me. Like, how could you? That's common sense. Da-da-da. So, all right. Then one of my friends, who will remain anonymous, he called me like, yo, I'm so glad you asked that question. People don't understand. Da, da, da. So let me further explain the situation, because this is something that's annoying. First of all, for people that said like, this has been going on for years.
It wasn't as prevalent.
It was not as prevalent. That's the first thing. It was not as prevalent as it was before the pandemic. Second, I had to realize these type things only happen at like more high-end restaurants. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to Applebee's, you make a reservation for three. You don't have to make a reservation, you just walk in.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, A, can't really even relate to this. But my thing is this. If we go in the Carbone, right, and we make a reservation for six people,
mm-hmm.
and we come with five people, right? Because now you got to, I can't be, if I take 9 o'clock, somebody's girl's iron might have broke, dude, like.
Lashes fell off.
It's three different parties coming.
Yeah.
And we in New York, or we in Miami. You got
traffic.
How the hell can I be responsible for every single adult coming at the same exact time?
Yeah.
And my concern here is that if we go into one of these restaurants, we're going to spend money.
For sure.
Right? So it's like, bro, we're going to spend $1,500, $2,000.
Yeah. Seat me now.
Yes.
Seat me now.
Like, what do you think?
You've been on social. You know we go for it. Seat me right in fucking Sexy Fish, right by the little, go ahead. Let her go take her pictures upstairs and come down. Have a good night.
Yeah. I don't want to have to wait 25 minutes because one person fucking overslept and now is playing catch up.
Yeah.
That's annoying. It's annoying as hell. And like I said, this only happens at these higher end restaurants. But these higher end restaurants is where you're going to spend the most money anyway.
For sure.
And it's like, just make an adjustment. The restaurants have tables for two, tables for four. After tables for four, they may have a booth for six, or they got to make an adjustment. They got to put tables together. So it's like, okay, if you make a reservation for five people and one person doesn't come, just sit me at the table for four.
Or you can do the private dining and put you in the back and close it off.
But that was very hard for people to understand in the comments. But
why?
I don't think that they've actually gone through that.
Got you.
Right? It's important to educate the audience. I don't think that they've actually gone through that situation,
mm-hmm.
where you know you're going to spend $2,000. You're there. You have seven people there, and there's one person, and they won't sit you for one person, and the table's still empty.
I'll never go back to the restaurant. Cheat me, motherfucker. Or just charge me for the food.
I've said that before, too. I said, look.
Just charge me for the plate.
I'll pay for an extra dinner, because we're going to eat it anyway.
Facts.
I'm not tripping off of it. It's what's the dinner? What's the minimum amount of money that I have to spend for one person? I'll spend it. $80, yeah. $100. Like, I'll spend.
Got you. If you drink minimum, I'll pass drinks around.
I've negotiated with. I'm a reasonable person.
Yeah.
I've said this. Look, I will pay the price of another person. I just want to sit down.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, no, we can't do that. Why? Why? You explain to me, why can't you do that then?
And then sales get to lightening up, and y'all be like, I don't know why. No, just all money is good money. If it's clean, just take the money up front. Because that's a luxury you have if things are going well. If we hit a slowing, they're going to wish
that's a fact
that people were still going out at the same clip. Because you're seeing all the restaurants turn to little clubs now.
That's a fact.
It's like, don't take any of this for granted. The service matters a lot in the service industry.
And they try and do this time thing. That's what it comes down. Because even
I hate
the,
that shit.
They just started. This wasn't always the case either, where you had to order the entree and the appetizer at the same time.
Yeah.
That wasn't always the case.
No.
Right? And it's like they try and get all. No, I want to order the appetizer.
Chill, talk.
Yeah, I'll take my. I want to think about what I want for an entree. I don't want to have to feel pressured.
Like when in high school lunch.
Exactly.
Fucking eat, drink, take pictures, all in 35 minutes. No, let me sit here. You need anything else? I need some fucking time to talk. That's what I need. Y'all already got the gratuity, and I'm tipping extra anyway, because if I don't, you're gonna be on Instagram talking about how much you tip.
And they're gonna add the gratuity, they're gonna add the gratuity in your bill, and then they're gonna add the gratuity in your bill and then say extra gratuity.
Yes.
How do you, if you want to put extra gratuity?
Yep. Serve well. Serve well, please.
Yo.
Or you can go to Mexico and Ghana and never have these motherfucking issues. Sit here as long as you want to, Jefe. Thank you. I appreciate you. Got you. Yo. Motherfucker come out, bring a sparklers every 30 minutes if you want to. All right.
That's a fact.
Oh, you got picked.
Just sit me down, man. Yeah. Look, I don't want to wait at the bar for 15 minutes.
Shut up.
Oh, man.
They be killing me with that shit in Miami, too. Hey, no shorts. It's 89 degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning, yo.
That's a fact.
You know I'm not going to tear up the club. Come on, man. Chill out. But okay.
But all right, man. For you.
That was a great interview, though.
Thank you. Yeah. But yeah, that was one of these things that caught a lot of traction on social. And people was very condescending in the comments. Like, I thought that was common knowledge. That's always been the case. It's been like that for 30 years.
I never had to wait for a party never, six that ran ops when I was a never, kid. What never. Are y'all talking about, Joe?
Yeah, stop it, man. Y'all need to stop it. Everybody's an expert on social media.
You know you don't have to wait? Ghana. We wait nowhere.
That's a fact.
We're happy to have you here. And it was a vibe too. What?
And the food is amazing.
For real. Lake Como, no wait, no minimums.
That's a fact.
Stop. Y'all playing these restaurant games, not to because I like him. But a lot of the things that people do in business, it catches on in the industry and it comes back to backfire on you later. Be careful. The service part, that's what it keeps somebody coming back.
That's a fact.
Over and over and over again.
That's a fact.
Yep.
All right. Another great episode.
Yep.
Blackout.
Love y'all. Good therapy session. Y'all quit creating broken homes. I know that shit goes viral. Put in comments, what is one thing we can do to have better community and less broken homes in our community?
A broken home creates a broken home.
For sure.
That's what we learned. Sure. That's what we learned today.
A lot of learned behaviors. Any traumas you're undoing?
Every day just trying to become a better person.
For real.
One day at a time.
Yeah. I meant to ask her, is our response to disloyalty a trauma response?
It's a survival response.
Wake it up.
This is a game of survival.
For real.
That's a fact.
Like, damn, I'm trying to help you get to the finish line. You want to shoot me in the back when we get there? What? Okay. Gotcha.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. It's been real.
Hey, babe boy, you can't affect no deals that I do when I own the shows that I'm a part of. Like the gall of some of y'all who be talking like, we do shows about equity.
What you mean?
Constantly like, yo, the next deal that you do, I'll dismantle and disrupt it. What? I don't know if you know, we own this shit.
I gotta talk off camera.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I'm out the loop. I've been out the loop.
Listen, we're one of the few who are entertaining, but the entertaining we do, we own the equity in. Why you have no IP?
I'm out the loop. Yeah. I'm out the loop.
So, but peace and love.
Peace and love. Yeah. We're staying positive.
Yeah, for sure. A full of love and joy and happiness and elation. Oh, Dr. Bryant, I'm going to take it from 10 to a 3. But I appreciate you, my brother, for challenging me to be better in every way.
All right, guys. Been real. Love.
Peace.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.